and welcome to AFL Tonight. This is ArenaFan.com's weekly look at everything arena football. I'm your host, Tim Capper. Along with me on the other side is Adam Markowitz. How are you, sir?
Hey.
So I'm wondering, can you please send some of your warm weather up? As we're taping this,
I'd be happy to give you 20 degrees.
I'll be more than happy to take it, considering that, you know, good old white north of us that we are. Supposed to get, I think, anywhere between, 4 and 6 inches of snow tonight. But for once, we can't say blame Canada. We can actually say blame Colorado. This one's actually coming up from Colorado. So, hey, that's perfect, actually. Aren't they supposed to be getting a game, a CBS game soon?
Go Denver.
Yeah, Denver. Yeah. First, we're going to talk about just real quickly. Obviously, we were supposed to tape yesterday.
My bad.
Yeah, no. Things come up, and the fans did understand. We want to at least make mention as of yesterday, it was the anniversary, one of the darkest days in AFL history of Al Lucas, dying while playing, the game that he loved, of arena football. He, for those of you who don't know, he played for the LA Avengers, and he got hurt while making a tackle versus the New York Dragons. And the story itself is heart-wrenching, eh, Adam? Because I had not seen that the LA Times article that was posted on the message boards in quite a long time. And to read.
Well, you know, it comes up every April.
Yeah.
And we remember every April. Unfortunately, regardless of the sport, things like this do happen.
Yes.
In sport, whether it be, you know, in this case, obviously the drastic, of death on the field, essentially, mm-hmm. or death because of on the field. But we've seen so many other things in life too. You know, we've seen Justin Skaggs. We've seen.
That's right. Yep.
I don't remember the name of the guy who played for the Daytona Beach Thunderbirds.
Yep.
Who passed away, I believe, right there on the field.
That's right.
And even so, you know.
And we can't forget Fran Pastadero either.
Yeah. And yeah, right. And then there's all the other things, you know, all these concussions, what they do to these guys. Across football and across sports in general. So it's the unfortunate risk that comes with playing the game that we all love.
That's true. And as I said, every year we go ahead and we darken the Arena Fan logo, in remembrance of Big Al. And it's, you know, it's that our, continuously, and it's just not once a year, but we are obviously thinking about his family. And one thing that I thought was very nice, and it came out a couple weeks ago, Adam, and I may have not mentioned it to you, is that I think it's his high school where he played. They're actually going to be naming something after him. And it was very interesting to see this story pop up coming through the wires through our, you know, through our newscatcher, to see it pop up right as it did. So it's nice to see, even though all these years afterwards, that he's being remembered in some way, shape, or form. So it's... So for everybody here at Arena Fan, obviously our thoughts and prayers are continuously with the family, and with anybody who has been, had any issues or been affected in any way by a tragedy, in sports. So, very interesting before we came on it, something that came over the wires, and we're not going to mention it now, and we'll get to what we learned and what we haven't learned. Jesse Schmidt's coming back to the Iowa Barnstormers. You know, Schmidt happens in Iowa.
Oh, Schmidt
is right. And I asked you point blank, and you gave me a point blank answer. My question obviously was, you know, how much better does this make the Iowa Barnstormers? And you basically said, he's just a wide receiver.
He's a wide receiver. There has not been a wide receiver. Go back and look at it. Go back and look at the wide receivers in this league. Look back at the best wide receivers that we've seen in recent years. Mm-hmm. Yeah, every winning team has had a good one, but the best ones statistically don't play on the best teams.
That's true. For years during his streak, Damien Harrell was not one of the better. He was one of the better wide receivers in the league. You know, it was like 76 games in a row with a touchdown pass, touchdown catch. His streak started off in Toronto. And Toronto was not a very good team, especially in their last season.
And the Rush only won the Crush only won that one title.
Exactly. So, but it's nice to have him back. I mean,
sure. I mean, he's better than whatever third receiver they had out there at the moment. He still doesn't play quarterback, and he still doesn't play defense.
No, but I think it will actually help if him and J.J. Redick are on the same page as they were. They'll be fine.
And they won what? You know, 6-7 games last year,
yeah.
Whatever it was.
But for,
you know, with that, with him for a full year, mm-hmm. This still was not a very good team. It was a 7-11 team last season.
Different team. I think we'll see how it
is. Is it really a different team?
Well, I think each team has been, I think, gotten a little bit better with the contraction. A little bit better. I mean, remember, we've seen some of the wide receivers, some of the best wide receivers on these other teams go to, you know, and they've been cut.
All that's making Iowa better is the fact that the Central Division blows.
That's another thing too. It's, could it give them another win or two? Yeah, for sure. It's just bad division can be very misleading. And it, by the way, it's something that we're going to bring up a little bit later too, actually in a couple of seconds here. You know, having a good record at this time of the year does not necessarily mean in your division does not necessarily mean that you are as good as everybody thinks that your team is. So I'm glad Schmidt's back in the league. Everybody was wondering, you know, 4 weeks, you know, 3 weeks in, 4 weeks in, whatever the reasons were why he wasn't playing, the ownership group in Iowa was able to bring him back to play for the Stormers. So it's good on them, obviously. And it's somebody that they are able to use as as another marketing tool. By the way, speaking of marketing and stuff like that, for the past couple of weeks, we have been promising you some interviews. Thank you to Adam Markowitz for helping set this up. We have about a 20 to 30 minute interview with Jacksonville Sharks owner Jeff Bushey. And it was I know, Adam, you wanted to be a part of it. You weren't able to. There were some questions I know you wanted to ask, but it was an interesting interview. I think you guys will learn a lot, so we'll play that about halfway through the show this week. And I hope you enjoy it. And I think we have some other stuff still lined up for the next coming weeks. We won't mention anything.
Any Orlando Predator-related names.
Yeah, we won't. And if there's anything else, we'll try to keep everything as hush-hush. But we gotta keep you guys coming back to us week after week, which you seem to be doing. So we're thankful for that, obviously. It worked pretty crappy the first week. We tried it. Last week it went pretty well. What we learned, what we haven't learned. And I think we'll go ahead and we'll start off with this past week. What did we learn, Mr. Markowitz?
Well, we continue to learn week in and week out that the Arizona Rattlers are the most dominating team in this league. They're outscoring teams by 68 points thus far on the season. And in three games, that's awfully impressive. The Rattlers made a very good San Jose team really look very, very bad, Saturday night. And it was a game that really, quite frankly, wasn't even remotely funny. So, you know, if we've never learned anything else, this is the ultimate thing that we've learned. Someone is going to have to beat the Rattlers, and I don't know who's going to do it. And I think there is a very legitimate chance. I'm not saying there's a great chance, but there's a very legitimate chance that they could run the table this season.
And they've been doing this, too, without having Maurice Purifoy either. He's on the IR, and he's not coming back until week 9. So.
Again, he's a wide receiver.
Yeah, no, I know, but.
A quarterback, and I think what's most underrated about Arizona is so many of their points that they've given up have been garbage time. This defense is good. This probably is the best defense in the AFL, and we certainly know that's the best offense in the AFL.
Exactly. Now, what happened in Orlando last week, as everybody may know, that there was a change at halftime for the quarterback. Is it time to start worrying in Orlando?
Yeah, we definitely learned that. Look, I said for a couple weeks we didn't know how bad Orlando is. Well, now we know how bad Orlando is. It's not that they lost the game; it's that they just got crippled in the game. when you look at it, you see the Predators have only been outscored by 37 points this year, and you think, 37 points in three games isn't so bad. No, they had no pulse in this game against Philadelphia. I relate what happened in this Philadelphia game to what happened in the San Jose game. What cool would have happened in the San Jose game. Orlando didn't do any onside kicks. They lost this game by a ton, and it really wasn't even as close as the final score suggested. I think had they done that same exact thing in San Jose, that would have been the exact same type of final score. It would have been a game that just was never really all that close. And they had the chances. They had the chances in the game. But the fact of the matter is that when the first offensive points of the game come with about 8 minutes left in the third quarter,
yeah,
your team has trouble.
And I will admit, it looked very different. You have the two Everett touchdowns right off the bat, and I'm thinking it was 14-0 right away, and then you're thinking, what's happening here? And then from there, as you mentioned, it just falls apart, and Orlando doesn't score their first offensive point until halfway through the third. So,
it's not even like they came close on most of those drives.
Yeah. No, I know. What is your take on the Kyle Raleigh, Chris Dixon situation?
Well, I think that what we have learned about Chris Dixon, and again, I seem to be alone in this thought. I was there, but I know a lot of you disagree with me. I think we have learned that Chris Dixon cannot play in the AFL. Mm-hmm. I think there's a reason that he has not been in the AFL in the past. I don't think his scrambling ability is going to do all that much for the Predators. I don't see him being a winning quarterback in this league. I really don't. He looks down the field. He has his one read. If his one read is there, he's got good zing on the football.
Yes, he does. Yes.
But I don't see in this AFL with a 1 year contract that there is, unless you are totally going to give up on the season already through 3 weeks, that there is any way that Coach Plank can turn this ball over to Chris Dixon. That being said, he might do it. We'll find out in a couple of weeks. He might do it, but I think he's making a massive mistake if he does. Kyle Raleigh is a quarterback that has won games in the past, and yes, he looked awful.
Yes. Yeah.
Awful. I think Chris Siegfried's the problem in Orlando. I don't think that it's either the quarterbacks. I think the game plan is terrible. Having watched the game plan, because the whole game plan is we're going to wing it downfield 8 million times and hope that our receivers can catch deep passes.
Yep.
And it's just not going to work with that being the case.
And I am one of those people who disagree. I think, you know, half a game coming in when you did. I liked the idea of him being in the shotgun most of the time. But I'm going to give him at least, if he does start this next week, after the bye week, we'll see. He'll have a little bit more time to be able to prepare. Obviously, on a bye week, you really can't do anything with the team itself. There's no practicing and whatnot. I'm gonna say give him one more week. Let's see how he does. If Raleigh starts, the question's been answered right there. So it's very simple. What else did we learn?
Well, we've also certainly learned that Tampa Bay can play.
Yes.
This is, it is not a mistake that this team has a ton more points than anyone else in the American Conference. I mean, Jacksonville's only 10 behind. But AD Mack continues to look very, very, very good. Joe Hill sets the franchise record for the most receiving yards in a game.
Yep.
I believe he finished third all time. I don't have that.
Yeah,
in front
you
of
are
me.
Correct. Third time overall. About
30 yards off the pace of Mike Karacek.
Something like that. Yeah. Yep. But third overall in league history.
Over 250 yards, and had that been a competitive game, he would have broken that record.
And of course, you know, I open my mouth and saying there's 6 minutes left. Oh yeah, he'll break the record, Adam, right away. Bing! No, he won't. But yeah, I didn't think about it because of the way that they're going to go with the ball. They're going to they're ahead. So there's no point for him to get the extra yards in garbage time.
And not only that, it was just a matter of when you're always working on a 10-yard field or a 15-yard field.
Exactly, that's the thing.
It's
yeah.
hard to catch passes downfield.
Exactly. Exactly. You know, I have been very impressed with Adrian McPherson. I mean, I did not expect this. I should have. I mean, considering he has been in football, but he hasn't really started. You know, it makes me wonder if this, you know, first, how long is it going to be until a CFL team, and not saying that he couldn't make it in the NFL, but until a CFL team signs him? Because I know right now Winnipeg.
It's coming.
I know. Well,
it is coming.
Winnipeg just dropped another one of their quarterbacks, so it's very possible he could end up, but he'd be another backup in Winnipeg. He is he's playing above and beyond everybody else. It seems like whenever he seems to be on the field, they know he can run.
Yeah,
they know he can pass.
Yeah, and one of the things that he is doing for the team, and it's something that it seems very, very easy to do, and we can kind of joke about it, but he has learned how to sneak the football.
Yes.
The Storm have not failed in a goal-to-go situation this year.
And for those who don't know, remember, he played in the CFL for the last
time. All he did in the CFL.
So most of the time, that's all he did when he had the odd start. It's true. You know,
come in on third and one and push the ball forward and get a first down.
Exactly.
That was his job. He's doing it now, and he's doing it in the AFL, and it's a lot harder because you're talking about going 5-on-3 on the goal line.
Exactly. And you don't have that 1 yard gap like you do.
And you don't have the gap, and everything's a lot smaller.
Yeah. So he's done everything. The touchdown runs that he's had, he's been very, very elusive. I mean, it'll be interesting. When he has a bad game, if he has a bad game, it depends on who it's going to be and what the team does to take him out of it. So I've been very, very impressed. And obviously, you know, it's funny. As you mentioned, you know, he didn't get the offensive player of the week in the Tampa games. He's won league awards. He was up for the MVP this past week, actually. And so was,
Hills.
But yet the fans picked Myers. To me, I was like,
Joe Hills got screwed. But you know what?
Well,
Joe Hills got an award in that Tampa game that he didn't deserve.
Which one?
When he went offensive player of the game over Brady Mack 2 weeks ago.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I was actually thinking when I saw the results of the poll that the league put up, I'm thinking, what is this? What are the Saskatchewan fans voting for Spokane? I mean, that's what I thought it was. Let's do the flip side here. What didn't we learn?
Well, I still don't think we've really learned much about Philly. Dan Radebaugh, as well as the Soul, played after they went down 14-0. Didn't look great. Bobbled some snaps, dropped some snaps, threw some ugly balls. You know, and then the one that was picked off was just a horrid. I mean, it's like he never saw the Jack linebacker.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't really look as great as this suggests, and he got better as the game went on, but I don't know how much of it was he got better versus the Predators kind of just gave up and got worse. Because it absolutely was the air just came out of the building. Once the score of that game became 21-14, it was over.
Yeah, and you don't score any points again. I said nothing in the second quarter for the Predators. Most of the third quarter without any offensive points. Yeah. So, I mean,
the Predators scored 21 of their points on defense and special teams.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't get to 40, so.
Yeah. No, I know. What else didn't we learn? Anything else?
I still don't believe that we've learned that the 3-0 Jacksonville Sharks and the 3-0 Spokane Shock are that good. They've won 3 road games, and they've won 3 road games against, my opinion, nobody. Wake me up when Spokane goes on the road to Arizona this week and wins. Or, I'm sorry, they're hosting Arizona this week.
They're hosting Arizona.
Spokane wins this game this week, I'm a believer. Spokane gets killed in this game this week like I think they're going to. I think it's going to be look, Spokane will get in the playoffs. No doubt about that. But I'm still not so sure they're better than the third best team in the West. As far as Jacksonville's concerned, I still think Jacksonville might be the best team in the South. Jacksonville is clearly going to get in the playoffs this year. But I don't buy them as a contender quite yet. I still think there are only two legitimate contenders in that conference, and it's Philadelphia and Tampa Bay.
I will admit, we're looking at at Spokane themselves. At least we're going to be able to see the game this week for Spokane. It may not be on normal television, but you should be able to see it on the AFL live stream, or if we can find the SWX feed directly from their website, at least we'll be able to see that game. So it starts at 10 o'clock, but it'll be well worth watching it, on Friday night, I think. So, I'm trying to think something what we didn't learn. I was, really can't mention.
Well, one thing we definitely don't know, that's, you know, what the hell is going on in San Antonio right now?
That's true too.
John Dutton is done for the season. Rohan Davey hurt his ankle, but he also hurt his ego, with as poorly as he played. He's the Rohan Davey we all remember.
He looked horrible. I remember, Rohan Davey that I remember in New York. when he played for the Dragons. I mean,
and he damn near got shut out against Dallas in that 60-7 game.
Oh God, yeah, and I remember, and that was the first game of the new contract on ABC. What a game! And what a game for them to start off with. Was it ABC? It was
NBC.
ABC. The 60-7, was it NBC?
Yeah,
I swear it was ABC.
No, I'm pretty sure it was NBC.
Anyways,
and that game was at home. That game was in freaking Nassau Coliseum.
Yeah. So, luckily, as we know, they've been able to sign a couple of quarterbacks.
Nate Davis, who's worse than Rohan Davey.
And he was playing in the Champions.
SIFL.
Football something or other, or something, whatever. Another one of the alphabet leagues.
For those of you who don't know what SIFL is, email me.
Yeah. and then, I don't think, rumors came about and then this actually came to be. Nick Hill. Nick Hill was signed.
Well, it makes sense. He played in that Texas league, before the Orlando Predators picked him up. I believe the team was in San Antonio, actually. No. The Dorados.
I don't know the leagues. That's the thing.
So they were the Dorados. They may have been San Angelo or something like that. Maybe he was a Texas boy. He was playing football in Texas. And the other thing is obviously he has ties to Keith Racine, who worked with the Predators for years and years. So that's inevitably where that came from. Keith got on the phone and said, "Hey Nick, we need a quarterback."
Yeah.
Of course, why Nick Hill was not a quarterback in this league beforehand, I don't know. Why Nick Hill is a quarterback now in this league, I'm not totally sure.
Yeah.
Draw your own conclusions.
And one thing we can say, by the way, if you are planning to have him and putting him, on your fantasy team for the week, don't. He's not currently, according to the information that we have, he is number 2 on the depth chart this week.
I wouldn't play him again. You'd want AD Mac first.
Yes. So,
yeah. Right away, coming back to Tampa Bay, where he played last season.
No kidding, eh? I know.
I urge people to remember, Nick Hill was an above average below average quarterback his first year with Orlando, an above average quarterback his second year with Orlando, and he was very average in the handful of games he played for Tampa Bay last year before he got hurt.
Yeah.
So don't expect miracles from Nick Hill.
Yeah, Nick Hill's not AD Mac. And that I said, AD Mac was a very decent surprise. Nick Hill, no. Not this
season. You know, it's only 3 games. You know, let's temper ourselves. This last one, he tore up Utah. Okay, let's remember it's still Utah. When was the last time Utah played defense?
True. I'll give you that one. That's another team that I don't know what the hell's going on. Is Utah. I think. Anything else we didn't learn? Or are we done with the segment for the week?
No, I think we're done with the segment for the day.
Okay. So anybody who happens to follow Twitter, and especially anybody with the players or the league or ourselves, obviously, you know,
Oh, yeah, we definitely did not learn what the hell this guy was thinking.
Yeah. When this past week, during the game, the Iowa-Spokane game, Iowa Barnstormers owner Jeff Lamberti tweeted basically out that, you know, he tweeted out his frustrations, I guess we could say, Adam. needless to say, I'm trying to get the actual tweets here. But he basically pulled a Mark Cuban. Now, that's the best analogy that I could use. I don't think he's going to get fined $50,000 for what he did.
No, but he may get fined proportionally.
Yes. But he basically blasted his own team openly on Twitter, saying that let's see if I can find it here. Here it is.
Yeah, basically they needed more playmakers, and they needed more talent, and that changes were going to be made.
Exactly. His first tweet read, "Terribly disappointed in how we played tonight. We are better than this, but time for some player changes. Need players who want to win." So it did shift, but obviously the way that seems things to escalate on Twitter, if you have something in your head and you're really ticked off, it doesn't just go with one. Obviously, there was another one. Next thing he tweeted, we need playmakers, not players filling a spot on the roster. Time for some changes. So not just once, but twice, openly. And then he saw the error of his ways, and he basically said, you know, it wasn't fair that what he did. He made an apology through Twitter, and he said that he was going to apologize to the team in person.
And if I'm the team, I'm thinking to myself, who are you?
Well, I'm thinking, you're our owner, and you're doing what?
Well, I mean, you know, if you're the team, you should first be looking at you know, yourself and saying, well,
right,
wait a minute,
right,
you know
right.
what? We didn't play with very much emotion in this game. We shot ourselves in the foot. We committed too many stupid penalties. You know, we had our chances to make stops. We didn't capitalize on any of them. And our offense really blew for most of the game.
Yeah.
So maybe that should have something to do with it too.
I mean, we've seen it happen before. You know, social media, the way, you know, how social media has gotten these days, you can be yourself. You can create a persona. You can do whatever you want, it seems to be, on social media. But if you are there as yourself and you say something, because we, you know, there have been some, not just sports related, Adam, but there have been some doozies of things that have come out over Twitter, and it's just jaw dropping. It's like, are you stupid?
Yeah, what were you thinking?
Yeah.
It's like drunk texting.
Yeah, yes, yeah. Yeah, drunk texting or drunk, what is it? Drunk call, leaving
yeah,
a...
Drunk dialing? Yeah,
yeah, drunk dialing, yeah. Now, I mean, I can see what he's getting at. I'm very reserved usually when it comes to Twitter and especially Facebook, and I've never been to one to, I'll say what I'm feeling, but I'm not an owner though. You know, I can't get fined. You're sure.
Fine. You could lose your team.
Yeah, you could lose.
I mean, not physically,
or,
but, you know,
yeah, your reputation. And this just goes for everybody, your reputation. You know, if you're looked up at such a level from somebody, you're going to be knocked down a hell of a lot of rungs to, you know, basically they tell you this big. So it's, no, I can understand you're mad, but sometimes, you don't need, you know, anger and Twitter usually do not, they don't go together. They're like oil and water. They don't go
this
together.
This is clearly the AFL dope of the week. Clearly. I just made that up.
I don't think it will ever occur again.
I don't think that's catching on.
No.
But that should be one of the weekly awards.
You know, Jeff Bushy is on Twitter too, and he's never done this that we've seen. And remember, if you have something that does this, we even arena fans, this popped up and we retweeted it. It's something that it was noticed, and then it gets into the mainstream paper in Des Moines and goes from there. These things always blow up.
Oh yeah, it's
always blow up.
People like me are waiting for stories like that.
Yeah. So it's
and if it weren't for the fact that it's still the middle of tax season, I would have been all over that before the Des Moines Register was.
Yeah. So yeah, I was like,
We'll call it the Jim Ferraro AFL Dope of the Week.
Oh, I still – do you remember the tantrum that he threw?
Yes.
And I have the audio for that. I have the audio.
So, you know, like I said, there are just some people that should really think before they type or think before they tweet or think before they do anything. This was clearly one of those cases.
Yes, yes. No. So it's – by the way, if anybody doesn't know what I'm talking about when it comes to the other thing I'm talking about, let me know. I'll send you the audio. It is a laugh. It is a complete and utter laugh. But it's not – who was it? Who did it? Dan Hagee. Yeah, Dan Hagee.
Took his shirt off.
I know. He got ejected, took his shirt off, and yeah. I don't know. Well, we talked about it before, and it seems to be a very easy question to answer, though. You know, we're seeing some issues in in Orlando. We're seeing some issues in San Antonio. We're seeing issues in quite a few cities. We can even go as far as Pittsburgh right now. Adam, I mean, when it comes to the AFL, you know, there's always seems to be an abundance of fantastic wide receivers. You're, you know, your first, second, third reads, we have to have, always to have an abundance of them. You have your three-headed monsters per, for every team usually. But when it comes to quarterbacks, quarterbacks seem to be a very, the position seems to be very thin as of late. I mean.
No, it's been very thin since 2010. You know, it's no secret, and it got thinner after 2010. You know, you've got guys like Grebe who retired. You've got guys like Dietz who essentially retired. You have guys like Gino Gadulli who would rather go coach college, and guys like Russ Mikna who would rather go coach high school or whatever it is that he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
And these were guys who were stalwarts in this league. And then you get worse. Then you get guys like Justin Allgood who just fall off the face of the earth.
Yeah, doesn't, yeah, true, doesn't
play. And what we've been left with are, is the league trying to get guys like Ryan Vaina to play, trying to get guys like Rohan Davey to play again. These guys stunk in the old AFL. I don't know what made them think they were going to be any better in the, you know, V2.0.
Could it easily have been, and just to be fair with the San Antonio situation, for them to have both their quarterbacks go down like they did, you know, they had to do something.
Well, you also have to know that when your two quarterbacks combined are over 70 years of age, bad things are probably going to happen.
Yeah.
Now, let's stick a caveat on that. I am very sure without looking that when Todd Hamel was quarterbacking the Blaze, that the two quarterbacks were combined for more than 70 years old. But let's be realistic here. Davey has always sucked. Dutton has been on the wrong side of his career since 2008. Dutton should have probably retired in 2008 and never came back. But, you know, old people get hurt more often. The only person who seemingly can defy that, knock on wood, is Aaron Garcia.
No kidding.
Somehow is, I mean, I guess maybe somebody figured he got all the injuries he could possibly, you know, ever have in a career. Maybe he will play till he's 70.
What was interesting too, and going back to if anybody hadn't watched, you know, that documentary that was uploaded to YouTube last week, about the AFL. It's true. Garcia has had a heck of a lot of injuries. He talked about breaking part of his back. I think it was the second year that he was in Arizona. And he's still going. So it's, now it begs the question, with the rumors of another developmental league popping up, with the quarterbacks that came out of the AF2 and was able to get the playing time, is now the time, or is 2014, will it, like it was projected to be, is now the time to bring in a developmental league again?
You gotta find a place. You are a developmental league.
Well, you know what I'm getting at. I mean, there's only so many quarterbacks that you can pluck from the alphabet leagues. And it seems to be that you are picking out retreads that you've already had before. Some are half decent. Some should not be under center. You know? So, something would need to be done to make sure that the quarterbacks, well, now with the pay scale the way that it is, hopefully they will stay. But it's just a matter of, if your quarterbacks keep getting hurt, you're not gonna get anywhere. I said, look what's happening in San Antonio. You know, thank God they were able to get one and a half names to play for them.
That's an interesting way to look at it.
Well, you know, so something has to be done. You know,
I don't think there really is anything to be done.
No.
What are you going to do?
That's the thing.
The quarterbacks that you've got, even if you start a developmental league, where are you getting the quarterbacks from?
No, that is true.
Where are you getting them from? You're going to get them from all the alphabet leagues.
No, it's true. It is true.
So what are you doing? All you're doing is you're creating another version of the same crap.
Yeah. And mind you, we have given Pittsburgh crap already for starting a rookie quarterback, but, you know, you do need time to learn the game. Be able to play the game.
But you're not in a league where you can do that.
No, exactly.
You're in a league where you're on a one-year contract.
Yeah. So it's, I don't know. Well, what do you think? I mean, fans, is it time for another developmental league to be started? How can the problem with the quarterbacks be rectified? Is there a way? Is it, can it ever be done again? You can let us know. You know how. Multiple ways over on social media. You have Facebook, Twitter, both at ArenaFan, and don't forget there is also our Instagram account. That's at ArenaFan also. There is the AFL Tonight Twitter account also. That's at AFL Tonight, and we'll be giving you our email addresses at the end of the show. Well, before we go on and talk about some very interesting stuff that came about, you know, I never thought we'd see another flex game in the AFL, but sure enough, one happened to pop up. And there, obviously, we have our questions of the week from you, the fans. And we also have what's coming up on the docket this week. We had, as I mentioned before, we had a very interesting interview with the owner of the Jacksonville Sharks. One tidbit which I did not tape, Adam, is first that Jeff Bucci actually happened to be a part of the Peoria Pirates. And it was very, very possible and that the Jacksonville Sharks were almost named the Jacksonville Pirates.
Okay.
It was like this close, according to Jeff. But they went ahead and they went with the history of the Sharks' name in Jacksonville, obviously with the World Football League team that was there. And they are what they are today. So it would have been very interesting. They called them the Pirates. Would have been interesting. But they'd always were going to go with the colors that they currently have. But go and listen to the interview. About 20 to 25 minutes. Hope you do enjoy it. And as I said, these are interviews that we're getting for you, the fans. So we'll be right back after the interview. Enjoy. Okay, so on the line with us right now is the one of the owners of the Jacksonville Sharks, Jeff Bucci. Hey, thanks for being with us tonight.
Hey, no problem. Great to be here.
Okay. I will admit, Jeff, you guys the Sharks themselves have had a great start to the 2013 season. I mean, we're only 3 weeks in, but I'm sure you're very proud of the team.
You know, yeah, we're definitely excited to be 3-0. We've never been, 2-0 even to start a season. So 3-0, I think it's a great accomplishment for us. It's the first time we've done it. But, we played, and some people have been arguing maybe our competition hasn't been that great. But anytime you went on the road, especially a divisional opponent, I think they're big wins. And in Tampa, I think Tampa is going to be a team to be reckoned with by the time the season's over. So I'm glad we got them early. I'm glad we got that win on the road.
And obviously you get them on the return on the flip side, so you'll actually get them at home, and you'll have your crowd behind you. So.
Yeah, and last game of the season, so I'm sure McPherson will have 17 games under his belt.
Yeah, that's true.
His Cowboy was out. So, he was just he was absolutely remarkable and kept them in that game. I have not seen a player like that in a long time in the Arena Football League.
I'm wondering if you're hoping, Jeff, that if the CFL does come calling and he's not with the Storm by year's end.
Yeah, that'd be great, actually. That'd be great.
Now, obviously the Sharks are 3-0. Are they as good as their 3-0 record? As you mentioned before, they have played some teams that, that may have people think that 3-0 is not a true 3-0, but it still is. But, overall,
yeah.
How good are these Jacksonville Sharks?
That is a great question. I don't think we know exactly. I think we got a big divisional game this week against the Voodoo, and I've not watched New Orleans every game, but I know they beat Orlando, and I think they have a tough loss at home against Iowa. So, do I think they're beatable? Yes, I don't know. We're going to have to play good to beat them. And Iowa, I think they've had a good start, too. We have them at home, so hopefully we can handle them. And then, kind of murderous row happens. I think we're at Philadelphia, home Arizona, and then we go maybe to San Antonio, home San Jose or something like that.
Yeah.
So that's going to be a stretch. We're going to see where we're made of. And I watched Arizona just destroy San Jose last week on the CBS game, and they looked really good. And then I watched in person. I did not travel the team to Cleveland. I watched in person Orlando get destroyed by Philadelphia, and their front three looked pretty impressive in the Mac linebackers. So, I think Philadelphia and Arizona are the class above the league. We've got to prove ourselves to see if we can hang with those two teams.
Exactly. Now, for the Sharks themselves, I mean, and for your entire organization, what are your reasonable expectations for the rest of the 2013 season? I mean, you've won, you know, you're back-to-back champions, if I'm not mistaken, for the Southern Division.
Correct. We are. Yes.
So, from there though, I mean, what, when the 2013 started, what was your expectations?
We're definitely a veteran-laden team this year. We went with some more younger guys last year. And I think it definitely affected us. And with some contraction this year, there's a lot of guys, going to be looking for work. And, we've done a good job in Jacksonville in preparing the foundation of players wanting to come here. Great fans, we do everything, I think first class here. And the players know that. So, our expectations are to win the division again for the fourth straight year, which I don't know if anybody's done that. Maybe San Jose maybe did it like in the 90s or something like that, maybe early 2000s.
Mm-hmm.
But the win the division for the fourth consecutive year, and then, you just want to contend for the Arena Bowl. And I think we're going, I definitely think we're going to contend for the Arena Bowl. Right now, I'd put us as the third best team, but, we actually got to play Spokane twice, too, and I think they're pretty dang good right now, too.
Yeah, you look at the entire Western Conference, Western Division as an example, it's not hard to say that it's possible three of those four teams will make the playoffs, though.
Yeah, something's probably. But Chicago surprised me and won down in San Antonio, and I think that I don't know what's going on in Utah. I haven't watched the game. I think they're 1-2 or 0-2. I don't know what their record is, but something's wrong there. Tampa went in and beat me this last week, and I thought they'd be much better. And I know they lost Puth on Arizona, but I thought they'd be there. In San Jose, they look just very beatable. I don't know, against Arizona, there's just a lot of things that they've got to do. But, but back to us is that I think we, we just have to, when you want to be an arena bowl contender every year, and I think we are. I mean, we got a lot to go to. I mean, this is, we probably think brought back 13 guys, so we have 11 new guys on the team.
Yeah.
But all veterans. I think maybe we got one rookie, if I recall, maybe two, and, they're mostly inactive every week. So we're veteran late, and I mean, they just kind of gel together, and there's just some chemistry. I mean, I love our defense. I think we're first or second in scoring defense right now, and I think we're absolutely top. Our secondary is lights out. We had Tracy Dalton, who was all AFL second team last year, and then, of course, and then Mishai Robinson and Terrence Smith, I think, was a second team all Ironman last year. And Mishai would be all something, but he was just hurt for most of the season.
Yeah.
So we are good, and then we have our all AFL our all arena first team and Mac linebacker and Aaron Robbins. I mean, they're good.
Now go ahead, Jeff. I'm sorry.
No, I'm saying then I'm just looking at our receivers. I mean, then the line I think was good then with Hewley and Marky White. We've got Jarvis Williams, I believe, is going to be active this week, and Jerron Harvey. I mean, we're just good. Bernard's, I think, second in Bernard Morris is second in passer efficiency, and the one knock on him is he wasn't efficient. Accuracy wasn't good. He's probably played about 30 games in the AFL now, and his accuracy is, I think, 70%.
Yeah,
and I can see in the games I saw, we had probably like three drops, two were touchdowns. I mean, he's been playing great. So, but we got to see. We got some tests coming up
now. Obviously, it seems that this year it has been the guarantee season. What if between the Bushy brothers here? I don't know if you and your brother are trying to outdo each other, but recently the Jacksonville Sharks went ahead and made another, not necessarily a guarantee themselves, but it was for, if I'm not mistaken, the season ticket holders. What prompted the team to go ahead and offer this to current season ticket holders, or new season ticket holders? I think
we believe it's a little different in that. We just want people to, I mean, we're a lot newer than Predators. Okay. We're in our fourth year. Predators are like in their 22nd year. Okay. So the guarantees are completely different. Ours are, if you have not tried the Sharks, come on out, go to the game. If you don't like it, we'll refund your season tickets because we know you're going to like it. I mean, we put on events, you've been on their football league. I mean, football league is not just about football. It's about putting on an event. And, football's part of it, but, people are selling, I can't control wins and losses. I'm the coach. I don't play the game. you know, hey, coaches can't really control them, but, you know, we can control that you have a good time or not. And that's what we do. We want people to know, like, our competition is, are you going to go to a 3D movie tonight or are you going to come to the Sharks?
Mm-hmm.
And that's our competition. It's not the Jaguars. It's not, you know, anything else like that. It's just, you know, what are you going to do tonight? And it's family affordable. And we just believe that it's the best entertainment in the city. That's why we offer the guarantee.
Now, if I'm not, no, the guarantee itself, was I correct in saying it's only for new season ticket holders? That if they aren't happy, they can come back and refund the rest of the tickets for the rest of the home season, home games?
Yep, that's correct.
Okay.
We've never had anybody ask for their money back, so I must be doing something right.
Exactly. Now, speaking of your brother, you know, Brett Bushy is the, one of part of the managing partners with the Orlando Predators. What's the rivalry like between you and your brother?
You know, there is no rivalry between my brother until it's game week. And we don't talk. We don't do anything, and sometimes we fight. Like we fought over the Chris Leak trade last year. But, we really are unified in one thing, and that's, you know, bringing the Arena Football League to the forefront of everybody in the United States, and that's what we care about the most.
Right.
We really love the game. We have a passion for the Arena Football League, and we do whatever it takes. You know, I want the Predators to, I like the Predators to go, you know, 16-2 every year with a 2-loss of us. So that'd be fine with me.
Yeah, why not, eh?
Yeah, man, I'm
fine. For those who may not know, is that Jacksonville is trying to lure, I guess we could say, or bid for the for next year's Arena Bowl. Are any update for on your plans and so far about getting the game?
You know, this is my honest feelings now is that I'm not sure as of right now tonight. Mm-hmm. Okay. That we're ready as a city to host it. I mean, I see my brother's going through it. I've been helping him. And I honestly believe it has not been decided by any means, but I honestly believe, this is my opinion, that I think it needs to be in Orlando for 2 years.
Okay.
They're doing so much work down there. My brother's working so hard at it. And we've got a good staff down there, you know, working on selling stuff for the Arena Bowl. And he's very instrumental in getting KISS to sign on and all the great things we're going to have. It's going to be just a fantastic weekend. I really hope the Sharks are in it, but I really think that we need to go through it 1 year, figure out what's working, what's not, what was done right, what was done wrong, and have a chance to fix all those things in a common setting like Orlando, and then maybe after that, come to Jacksonville.
Okay, now,
that's just my opinion, great. Next month I might think like, hey, we Jacksonville, we can do it again.
Well, it's obviously, it's very high praise for your brother and for the organization and what they're doing. Is it something that Jacksonville went ahead and looked at previous neutral site games to see what was good, what was bad, or were those too many years in the past to look at them and say, well, this is what they did right, this is what they did wrong, or is it?
Well, you know, I was never honestly a proponent of the neutral site game, especially with the restart of the league. I just felt that we needed to, because I think that when we were in it, but the first year was in Spokane, it was sold out. I think it was a great event. The second year was in Arizona, and that's where we won it.
Mm-hmm.
And then last year was in New Orleans at a neutral site. And it's very tough to do a neutral site game. It just is. You know, but the positives about it, you get all the events around it, get them planned. You get people know where the Arena Bowl is going to be. So you get fans from all over the league going. And that kind of stuff. So it's been, so that's what makes it great. But we took it a step further this year by adding KISS and bringing the Arena Bowl back, the awards on Thursday night. And I believe there's going to be like a post, I think it's going to be maybe a party after the KISS concert, I think. But, you know, we're trying to make it like a mini Super Bowl.
Right.
And they're working really hard on that. And I think, you know, for us just to take it over the next year, I think it just needs to be in Orlando for a couple of years.
Okay.
I just think it's like a momentum. It's not easy to do. It's not.
Well, I'm sure.
They're doing a great job down there. I can't wait. I mean, I know they sold. I mean, people are buying Predator tickets just so they can buy KISS tickets, you know. KISS is a big draw, and there's still a lot of stuff, you know, with KISS that hasn't even been unleashed that we're going to do with the Arena Football League. So that'll be coming out shortly.
I can imagine. It's a, you know, you look at the
you know, they're genius marketers, okay? And I always, you know, unless I'm telling you, I, I grew up a Kiss fan, a huge Kiss fan. My second concert was going to see Kiss in 1979. My first at Kiss, I mean, that was Elvis in 1977. But
you're dating yourself there, Jeff. You're dating yourself.
Yeah, I'm 47. That's fine. The 80s rock was good. So I'm fine with that. But, you know, they just were not, at the beginning, the best musicians. But to be 20-something years old in the 70s and market themselves like they did, mm-hmm, is just an unbelievable accomplishment. You know, and I always say, I've always said from day one that before we even did this, I said going to an arena football team is, or going to a Sharks game, you know, it's kind of a cross between a, you know, a football game and a Kiss concert. Mm-hmm. We play a lot of music, we play some football, we blow a lot of things up, you know, and I really believe that. I try to look at a lot of things that they do and put it into, you know, an arena football league game. And we want, you know, Kiss is the ultimate showman's, the ultimate showmanship, and we want to do the same thing in arena football league. So at least I do here in Jacksonville.
Exactly.
And that's what I really strive to do.
Now, something happened over the past weekend, Jeff, where it seems that, and it's happened before, with social media being the way that it is, and I know you're on Twitter, but yeah, the Iowa owner, Jeff Lamberti, actually, he really took the Iowa Barnstormers and their team to task and basically blasted them on Twitter. And obviously it was...
I did not know that. Dan, I missed that, right?
Yes, yes. He later on apologized. But what is your feeling when it comes to owners expressing themselves on Twitter? I mean, you have the Mark Cubans out there, and we know Mark Cuban. Well, he speaks his mind, so...
Well, I was just thinking about this the other day. I was thinking about Mark Cuban. You know, before Mark Cuban owned the team, the Mavericks were, you know, they weren't really mentioned that much, or they were not really thought of, you know, in any way. Good, bad, they're just indifferent. And indifference is just a bad thing. Uh-huh. You know, nobody cares. That's not good. And so I think he was a genius and doing whatever he did at the beginning. He got all those fines, you know, at the beginning.
Yep.
Because they're repaying fines. He probably got four times in, you know, the amount of publicity for the Mavericks, you know, and the Mavericks are, you know, a much bigger brand now because of him. So, you know, I haven't used it that way. I just try to set up football, but I think he was probably very upset that they lost.
He was, yes, yes.
It was the voodoo last week, right? You know, I think they were 2-0 going to the game. They have a home game against the Voodoo, and they lay an egg, you know, and it's just, you know, I mean, I'd love for Iowa to, you know, be successful, and, you know, they got a chance to, you know, win that division. And I just, you know, it doesn't bother me. Hey,
no.
Owners will be owners, coaches will be coaches, players will be players. It's just, hey, just how it is. You know, it's just in this world today, is everything is so right now, you don't have a chance to take it back, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Once something's out there on social media, it can be good and bad. But, you know, social media has been good, obviously, and bad when it comes to, you know, if somebody wants change or fans want to express how they're not feeling and stuff like that. So it's
we do majority of our you know, majority of our advertising, a lot of our advertising on Facebook now. You know, it's just the way it is.
Yeah.
So
I don't think my
100 followers is going to get out too much.
No,
on Twitter.
I wouldn't be surprised if Mr. Lamberti has a lot more followers now, considering what. And usually that's the case. What happens? So maybe you need to say something a little bit controversial, Jeff.
I don't think it's a bad thing. You know, publicity. So good or bad.
Exactly. Just to correct you, I think he was pretty mad because they were laying an egg versus Spokane. That's the thing. So it's they weren't playing.
Was it Spokane?
Yeah, they were playing.
You know, it was Spokane,
yeah,
wasn't it? That's what it was. I watched that game, and I'm like, I think Spokane is just really good. I mean, Eric Meyer, I think, was hurt most of the year last year.
Yep, that's right.
If you look at, you know, I mean, I think, doesn't Spokane host Arizona this week?
It is Spokane host Arizona this week. That is correct. On Friday night.
We're gonna see. I mean, I just saw Cliff Dukes, though. You know, watching him, and I don't know who can block him. I'm hoping Isaac Morales and our team can block him. But I told Coach, you need to start looking at Cliff Dukes' film right now. So I'm going to give Isaac a reel of Cliff Dukes, and just he needs to figure out how to block that guy, because he was a monster.
Yeah.
Against he was killing Garcia. So.
No, it's anyway. You know, things have changed. You know, this year, quarterbacks, it's poor San Antonio. They've had to. You know, they had two of their quarterbacks go down, and now they had to bring in Who was it?
I heard that you said Nick Hill.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, the signed Nick Hill. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, Nick Hill's good, so.
Yep. I don't know if you remember or not, Jeff, but today is the anniversary, one of the darkest days in Arena Football League history, where Los Angeles Avenger Al Lucas died. I was wondering,
okay.
I did not know if you happened to know the gentleman or if you had had a chance to see him play. Or was it...
No, what year was that again?
That was in 05.
05. I was not in the league at the time.
Okay.
I do remember it happening. I've lost some, I lost a really good friend Papa Sedaro when I was with
Yes,
Orlando.
Yes, that is correct. Yes.
And so, and that was in June, I think, man, he's been gone probably like 10, 11 years now. It's just, it's never, never good when that happens. So it was just a waste of, waste of young life. And I think about, I was just talking about a friend the other day to one of the guys that works for the Sharks that work with me in Orlando, and just all the funny things that Franny used to do and the things he used to say. And we just, we haven't forgotten him, just like I'm sure the friends of, Al hasn't forgotten him. So.
Yeah. And obviously I think the best thing about Al Lucas is that he died while playing the game that he loved to play. He was playing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just a fluke accident that he made a tackle and something happened, to his back. So,
yeah.
Here's the big question here, Jeff, and we can let you go because we really appreciate your time today.
Sure.
I know Adam wanted me to ask some particular question, but I don't have it really in what he wanted to ask. But as of right now, what you can tell us here, all the fans, what is currently the state of the league? I mean, I know the commissioner likes to let us know the information that he does, so I'm not asking about expansion or anything like that. But right now, what is the state of the league?
The state of the league.
Yes, and I guess as best as you can put it.
I can tell you this. I love the owners we have. I felt the teams that contracted. I thought it was necessary, to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you got to take a step back, take a step forward, two steps forward. So, I was absolutely okay with that. Chris Revels, one of our owners in Milwaukee, I know he's still working hard. To bring, back Milwaukee next year. He's just a great guy. I mean, I love our ownership groups right now and all the people that represent our teams at the Board of Governors meeting. So, Board of Directors meeting. So I like them a lot. So I like that we've got labor peace for 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
So we love that. This is the first year on CBS Sports Network. I don't know what you feel about that, but I love being on CBS Sports Network. So I love that. The Sharks, this is probably one of our, best years ever as far as corporate partnerships and TV deals and so forth. So I see the league, you can see the light just getting brighter, on the league. We still got a lot of work to do, I'm not gonna lie. There's so much work to do.
Right.
We've been around 26 years, but really the fourth year in the restart. It's in some instances, I feel like we're starting completely over. Because you can see, our attendance is down. I mean, it's not, you can see it on, I guess, Arena Vane, you can see it, but our attendance is down.
Yeah, it is.
Overall.
Yes.
And me and Brett sit there and talk about that concept. Like, what are we doing something wrong? Is it just the economy? What are the variables that are affecting this? And how can we change it, I think about this stuff a lot. I mean, the Arena Football League's never been in an economy like this. Maybe in the late 80s, maybe. I was in school, so I wasn't working or, paying attention to the economy that much. But this is the worst it's been since, at least 90. We had the big uptick and then there was the crash, but, there wasn't the bottom that's fallout to right before the league shut down. So, and that was a contributing factor to the league shutting down.
Mm-hmm.
I can't figure that out. I don't think anybody can. If we knew exactly what it was, we would, we would fix it. So, that's the only thing I can't, the economy and just what's going on with, the government sequestering and then also, corporations, what they're doing with, obviously they haven't hired anybody back because nobody knows about all the healthcare. So there's all these big question marks that affects everything.
Mm-hmm.
And it trickles down to, You know, fans, I mean, I can't tell how many fans we've said that said, like, oh, you know, we're not going to renew our season tickets, but we're coming to a lot of games. You know, everybody just wants to hold on to their cash. That's what they want to do. And so, you know, I think that it's got to be a contributing factor. I mean, we're not going to know until the economy turns around. Obviously, the economy turns around in the next 5 years and attendance is up 25%. And yeah, obviously, that's a contributing factor. So we just don't know. But I just love, like I said, I love our ownership group. I think we're doing a great job under the circumstances, but we've got so much work to do. But it really is going to, I believe, this restart is going to peak on, you know, August 15th, 16th, and 17th. I believe, honestly, in my heart, that weekend is going to restart and re-jump the American Football League. Yeah. I really do. I think it's going to be a great weekend. I just hope the Sharks are in it.
Oh, I'm sure. I mean, it's you want to get your second championship, right?
Exactly. Well, the good thing is, let's do my third. Maybe my first, my second, and I got two with Orlando.
That's true.
I was there in 98 and 2000. So, yeah, you know, I just want, you know, when we decided to put the team, you know, to do the Rainbow Orlando, and Brett and I even talked, we said, hey, there's a 3/7 chance that one of the teams from Florida will be in the Arena Bowl, which would be a coup for Orlando. If it's Tampa or Jacksonville, or, you know, obviously Orlando, it would just be great, you know. And so, you know, so hopefully that happens. I hope it does. So we definitely get a shot.
Now, what was the thing about your brother happened to mention when it came to – actually, multiple owners have talked about this. I know owners seem to be very more open than in recent years, which I love the transparency. They're talking about you talk about the new TV, a possible new TV contract, and there is – your brother was talking about arena football in the Olympics?
Oh, yeah. because listen, you know, it's in arenas. You know, we're starting up in China now, as you know.
Right.
That's public information. So, yeah, I mean, listen, we'd love to be back in Europe. Okay. And it can be truly a world sport, an international sport. So, you know, yes, my brother definitely has big dreams and big plans. I'm worried about Friday night's game. He's worried about the Arena Bowl Olympics because he's 0-3. So.
Oh yeah. Well, I wonder if your brother's actually worried about his guarantee.
yeah. You know, listen, they played a pretty rough start. You know, so they had a. Philly and then they San Jose. I mean, listen, they could have easily been 2-1. They lost in overtime against New Orleans, you know, and then they were down in the last play. They score, they win, they down the 2-yard line, they don't, they lose, and
I know,
you know, the receiver ran the wrong route, so it was a back shoulder throw. And so I watched that game. Well, you got to be kidding me.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, last two games they lose on the last play. But, you know, maybe things have now turned around for your brother with possible change over to Chris Dixon at quarterback. So it's.
Did they do that?
They did at halftime. Halftime last year, Coach Plank. Coach Plank pulled him. Pulled Raleigh. He pulled Raleigh, so it's Chris Dixon started the second half. So.
I was there, and I'm just I kind of thought they did it just to give him the shotgun, because, you know, Raleigh was getting killed. It wasn't his fault.
Yeah.
I mean, his helmet was over his head a couple times, and I was feeling bad for him. So he needed to get some protection up front. I mean, I hope they keep that protection when we play him on May 29th. Because I think we lead the league in sacks by like double of anyone else, so we'll get after him too. But yeah, so I'm not really sure that was his fault. But hey, coach's decision. What are you gonna do?
Exactly. Well, Jeff, you know, thanks a lot, man. I greatly appreciate that you would come on with us and talk about the team. And then this is something that we would hope that we'd be able to get from, you know, a lot of the other owners and players and stuff like that. So it's. We're just trying to promote the league as much as we can, and greatly appreciate it again for joining us.
No, we appreciate you guys covering us. You know, whether it's good or bad, I think, you know, I told Adam this, I think you guys cover us fairly. You know, sometimes I'm, you know, maybe the facts aren't exactly straight, but maybe not getting the facts, you know, or you're doing the best you can with them. But I think so. But I think you guys are great, you know, champion of the league, and I appreciate it. Everything you guys do, and anytime you need me, I'm sure I can speak to my brother. Anytime you need him, he'd be more than happy to go on with you anything we can do to further the cause of arena football, we're definitely for.
Again, Jeff, greatly appreciated, and we'll talk to you soon. So Adam and I would like to thank Jeff for allowing us to interview him. It was very nice for an owner to make himself available to us to answer questions for our site and for the podcast. So it's, again, Adam, I know you were really the one who got the ball rolling on this one. So, you know, props to you, man. And
I haven't even listened to the interview yet.
No, I know. but it's, you know, this is something we've been wanting to do for years. And we're not live, but you know, it's funny. A lot of the stuff we probably would not have been able to do live. You know, the last three or four, interviews that we've had. So, then as I said, we're doing it for you guys. So, mentioned it before. It's coming up finally now. It's a huge thing. So Adam, I'm curious. What are you going to be watching at 7 o'clock on Saturday on the CBS Sports Network? Anything in particular?
I'll be watching my eyelids at that point, but
yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Well, at 7, if you were to watch something at 7 or 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock,
yeah,
you know, what time the game is supposed to be.
I mean, I'm supposed to be seeing some arena football.
Supposed to be. We comment about it this way because it's, as you know, and we did mention it already before, you know, I think last week, that the game this week is going to be tape delayed. And it's just not going to be tape delayed because of something. It's going to be tape delayed because
tape delayed for nothing.
Well, yeah. Just nothing, you know, not just something. It's going to be taken.
May as well put on freaking dead air.
Yeah. There, it's going to be bumped so people who were not able to watch the third round of the Masters will be able to watch the third round of the Masters on tape delay until 11:30 that night. Now, by the way, when is this special? You know,
tomorrow, right?
And what we can talk about that too. The induction for the Hall of Fames tomorrow night in Iowa, in Des Moines. But when is this special supposed to be televised? Remember, the whole thing about it was to announce that there's going to be a special on CBS Sports Network for the Hall of Fame. But yet, oh, by the way, the game's going to be tape delayed. I was under the impression.
Oh, by the way, it's pretty much right.
Yeah, I was under the impression that it was going to be showed on Saturday also, right before.
Well, it's definitely not being shown on
unless it's not listed, unless it's going to be in that block of for arena football. Maybe
it's possible.
From 11:30 to 12. I can't remember if they actually said how long it was going to be. But what's funny and not so, so the game itself, Adam, is going to be on at 11:30. If you happen to miss it at 11:30, you'll be able to watch it again at 3 a.m., and then you'll be able to watch it again at, I think it's at 2 p.m. on Saturday afternoon. And if you still want to, and you still miss the part of it, maybe you miss the fourth quarter or something like that, you can watch it again Monday at.
You didn't make it up till 6 o'clock in the morning on Sunday.
Yeah. So, it looks like this is what is going to be the future for any games that are going to be live, or currently scheduled rather, for the CBS Sports Network. They will be shown as through an encore presentation. What I think is a little weird too, and I think I don't understand why this didn't occur, is that there's going to be a live NLL. I think it's an NLL game at 4:30 on CBS Sports Network.
Just another slap in the face.
Why couldn't it have been pushed back? Now maybe it had to do with the league. It's the NLL. I don't know. I couldn't say, but this you know, a lot of people have been making a reference that this is very similar to the old, you know, tape delay on ESPN Prime, NFL Network days type of thing.
It's bad.
Now, and this, if we did have any ratings coming in from this, this is not gonna, I don't think this is gonna draw. And the poll was almost split that we had on the front page that if, you know, if there is a game that is on tape delay, would you watch it? The choices, Adam, were, yes, just because I want to watch it. Yes, because my team is involved. Or no. Now, if you were to choose one, which one would you have chosen?
No.
No. So, it's frustrating. I don't think we can't really beat a dead horse any more than it is. I mean, it's, obviously we'd like to have the game where it should be, but, I guess if we get any positive out of it, Adam, if there's anything that we can say, at least we were bumped for Masters Golf other than what we've been bumped for in the past.
And not what we might be bumped for next week.
Next week?
Let's bring it up.
Go ahead.
The Flex.
Oh, well, that's week 7.
Oh, that's week 7?
That's week 7, my friend.
Oh, I'm sorry. Never mind. Yeah. I'm sorry.
That's
my
week
bad.
7.
Not week 5.
Now,
week 7.
Now, I'm very surprised. Now, the only time that we really used the Flex term was with the NFL Network. Some of the games were actually flexed to a different team, and so some teams were – if they weren't on that Friday night within that time slot, it was a bigger pain in the butt for these other teams to move from another night. It's not like where it was on NBC where they could switch – when they did their original regional broadcasting where they could just switch to another game if there was a blowout. But this, the week 7 game between Chicago and Philadelphia was announced that it is going to be flexed for the New Orleans Tampa Bay game.
Great.
So instead of the Tampa Bay game beginning at 7:30, it's going to start at 9 p.m. And I know.
Not great.
Yeah. At least it's not 10:30 like it was for.
It's only a half hour earlier,
yeah,
relatively speaking.
Yeah, relatively speaking.
You know, why didn't you put on the Spokane-Utah game at the same time, 9 o'clock? That would have made perfect sense. But no, we're going to go to Tampa Bay instead.
Now, I don't know what – I wouldn't know the reasoning for that. The only thing I could think –
Well, I can tell you what the reasoning is, but that the Utah crowd stink too.
Oh, that's true too, yeah. Maybe they had gotten drawn better for the first 2 weeks. I know you and I are looking for it to improve, obviously.
But if you think Tampa Bay is showing up on a Saturday night at 9 o'clock, there's a hell of a lot better things to do in downtown Tampa Bay at 9 o'clock on Saturday night than go to a Storm game.
Well, at least it can be better than the so-called 30-some-odd-hundred that showed up.
God, I can't even imagine what a nightmare it's going to be trying to drive out of that game. Everyone in downtown Tampa Bay is pissed drunk at midnight on Saturday night. Mm.
Depends on how many show them. But I think it is a positive that they did change it. I mean, I like the Flex. I know a lot of people, a lot of fans for NFL fans.
Yeah, but you flex to get a better game.
I know.
This wasn't to get a better game. This isn't the better game. New Orleans and Tampa Bay is not a better game than Philadelphia and Chicago. You've got the two biggest freaking TV markets in the goddamn country, in the, you know, the damn game, playing against each other, and you flex it out.
Yeah.
How stupid is that?
I think we know the reasons why. We think we know the reasons why. It's all because of atmosphere, game day prep.
Nobody wants to see the lousy crowds in Chicago on national television.
Exactly. And you got to admit, though, Tampa Bay, when it comes to game day prep in Tampa Bay is fantastic.
Best PR staff in the
league. Exactly. Exactly. So, I mean... that's a nod to the Tampa Bay organization. So it's, yes, I understand Tampa Bay fans, you guys are going to be put out, for that time. It's very possible a lot of the kids that usually show up for the game may not be able to come to the game.
It's way past my bedtime.
Yeah, I has the team, I don't think the team did not at least announce officially if there is an issue. Not being able to go if they're going to offer something else, but it's, I don't know.
And on my birthday of all days.
Oh yeah.
So maybe I won't be going to that game.
Ah, you're right. So, I mean, I will kudos to them for changing it, for bringing in the Flex again. If we were to look at the schedule Adam, just off the top of our heads, is there a possibility that there could be another flex game?
I'm
going through it really quickly here.
Never even thought it. Yeah, the very next week, San Antonio, Jacksonville could very well be flexed because who wants to look at that San Antonio crowd?
I think San Antonio will stay.
Week 10, Chicago, New Orleans. That game could easily get flexed out in favor of Iowa and Arizona.
See, Orlando, Philadelphia, week 10 is Chicago. Well, Chicago, New Orleans, week 10.
Right, yeah, I've said that one. Yeah. Week 13, Utah, Jacksonville should be flexed out for Spokane, Arizona.
Week 14. Week 14.
And that's probably it.
Yeah, I'm looking at
that. Week 17 is going to be up in the air. You know, week 17, you want the best game. Oh, wait, that's not the last week of the year.
No.
Oh, that's the NFL. I don't know if they'll go to Pittsburgh this year. Pittsburgh is hosting San Jose, and that's supposed to be a CBS Sports Network game. The next week, Cleveland is supposed to be hosting Orlando, and
Cleveland did okay for their opening game. You know, they announced 8800, so.
Cleveland was, well, this is also week 18.
Yeah.
You know, Cleveland was flexed out last year for the AFLPU crap.
That's true too. Yep. And no game ended up being shown on TV anyways. Luckily, it was picked up by a local TV.
Podcast, in podcast land, you can't see me doing the air quotes when I say flexed out.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, it's a plus. You know, I can't bash them for doing this, but, and I can understand the reasons why they do it, but it's the only thing that I feel for are the Tampa Bay fans. I mean, Joe, myself, and Adam can attest to when a game is changed, basically bumped 3 hours, it can make a huge difference. And as anybody who watched or was at the Arena Bowl in New Orleans, it's, you know why. So it's, you know,
all 3,500 of you that were there.
Yeah, they can easily announce, you know, for the game in Tampa, they'll probably easily announce what they did, you know, because it is tickets out, rather than the butts in the seats. So, we'll see what happens. So, we mentioned it before. There is also the induction ceremony this week.
To be televised at time unknown.
Yeah, it's some sort of special. Now, I think all the emphasis should be on the guys who are being inducted. Congratulations to them all. The only thing that I have an issue with, and something you and I have talked about openly, is about the Cleveland Thomas situation.
Yeah, the guy that's not being inducted.
Yeah, and we did mention it last week. Now, one thing I did not know, because I actually went back. The information, I did not see it until it was pointed out to me, that unfortunately Sabercat fans, he's not going to be inducted next year. Unfortunately Sabercat fans, he's not going to be inducted the next year. Unfortunately, when he stops playing, then he has to wait the full 3 years to become eligible. I don't understand that, Adam.
That's ego getting in the way.
That's all it is. I can understand that there are rules set forth by the league when it comes to how many years it could be that before you can get even qualify to possibly be chosen to be inducted. This is a guy who met the criteria prior and just happened to come back. Now, mind you, I understand that, yes, Jay Gruden did the exact same thing, but he'd already been inducted, so they couldn't take it away from him. So he was the Hall of Fame quarterback. He was the Hall of Fame quarterback. He was the Hall of Fame head coach. He then became the Hall of Fame quarterback. But for Cleveland, I would hope that the league will reconsider and allow him to be inducted. He'll be inducted. There's no question about that. It's just a question of when.
Caveat, if the league makes it that long.
I really don't understand that. You know you're gonna make it in. But yet you gotta wait. So,
Don't ask me.
I know. It may have been, from what I read, from the league information that I saw, I'm being led to believe it was something that was, it wasn't a surprise to him. That's the way that it came off.
I don't know that he really cares either.
I think, well, you know, playing all these years in the league, you know, you did make a name for yourself.
Yeah, but you made your name for yourself. What are you, you know, what does saying that you're a Hall of Famer in, you know, in this AFL, what does saying a Hall of Famer really mean?
Well, it's also being based on, I think he's a Hall of Famer for based on what he did prior. Really.
No, understandably.
You know, and everybody who's being inducted this year, it's what they did prior. So. And obviously the reason why Clint Ozell is getting in is because he fell under the rules for a player.
Yeah, the reason Clint Ozell is going in now is because he didn't come back to the Orlando Predators in 2010 like he threatened to.
Right. Because if not, he would have had to wait another year.
Right.
So. So that's going on. That's going on this week.
Also inevitably tape delayed.
Yeah, I'm curious. I'm actually curious.
Maybe this is going to go on at 3 in the morning.
No. I'm curious to see the special. I with all honesty, there have been
I'm curious to see if there is a special.
I think there will be. I have no reason to believe that there won't. You know, we mentioned it last week. Unfortunately, this week, it's basically this game in the AFL are like those last three contestants on The Price is Right. They never get up on stage, and they're leaving with a parting gift. So, you know, so for them, this is their year's supply of turtle wax.
Yeah.
So, they had to do something. Fans, you guys have been very receptive, giving us questions that you want Adam and I to try to answer. We try to answer them, if we can, and—
Don't ask us things that you know we can't answer,
yeah,
please.
Yes, yes. So it's, but you know.
Not mentioning any names, Bruiser.
Kudos to you guys. I mean, I'm very, very impressed. Let's get to them and then we will get to, what's on the schedule for this week. You know, there are quite a few teams on bye week this week. So it's a shortened schedule. Okay. First question comes to us from Sean Moon. I know it's early in the season, but the power is in its third season with about 8 starting QBs and 2 head coaches already. What is the problem? Is it the coaches or the front office?
Well, it's whoever is trying to put a team together. I don't know who, you know, some teams it's the head coach who's putting the team together. Some teams it's the general, you know, whatever their definition of a general manager is, it's putting the team together. But the Pittsburgh Power have had one legitimate quarterback in their franchise's history, and he never took
played
a snap
it down.
For
yep.
Them.
Yeah, I know.
So the Power are a wreck. I think ownership is a big problem. Look, love Swanee. Love me some Swanee. Think he's great for this league.
Yes,
thought
I
he
do.
Was one of the better receivers in NFL history. I don't think he knows what he's doing. I don't think he and his team know what they're doing. You can't charge $15 to walk in the door for a product that's this bad. So I think the fact that there are no fans is making it really tough to try to bring in players. You know, who would want to go play in that?
Well, that's the thing too. When you hear about the known history for some of the teams that these players do want to play for, the Arizonas and the San Jose's, and I'll use Orlando's too, and the Tampa Bay's, they've been around for such a long time, and they have
and there's no state income tax in those states.
That's true too. And they have
don't think that that's a small portion of it. Yeah. You know, when you're only making you're making $825 a week, you don't want Uncle Sam coming by and taking another $100 of that for state income tax.
Yeah. No, it's true. So it's, you know, being able to play for that has a team that has history that have, and it's not that Pittsburgh doesn't have stable ownership. It's just ownership, It's never been about the ownership usually. It's usually been about the team itself and their history and how well they've played in the past. So Pittsburgh, yeah. I love it when I heard that they were coming back. I don't know. Maybe it's going to have to start with another, you know, start with another head coach.
I think first thing it's going to have to start with is getting the hell out of that building. I don't know where else they could play at Pittsburgh, if they could play maybe at Peterson, or what else is there that they could play in, but this, the rent is too high. It's way too big of a stadium. And they're just, God knows how many games they're going to end up having to move for the Penguins this year.
Yeah. Hopefully, yeah, once the playoffs are coming up very soon and Pittsburgh's already clinched a playoff spot, so.
And they're gonna end up being the one seed.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they're going to have more home games.
I'm not gonna question that. I know the Canadians are not gonna, as an example, they're not gonna, they'll finish,
the Bruins hate you for not mentioning them in this.
They'll finish, I think the Canadians will finish in the top three. The Bruins will be there too. It's always tough when it comes to the NHL and getting these games. So, you know, especially when you're, and even so, Pittsburgh, the Power are still only the number two tenant, but look at how many dates the Penguins have. So.
Yep.
Talked about it a little bit before, but it's from Jason Schneider. How much of an impact will Nate Davis make as San Antonio's new quarterback?
He'll make enough of an impact to send San Antonio to another loss.
He'll make a one-week impact.
I think he's going to make a fantastic placeholder.
He'll make a one-week impact, and then Nick Hill will be under center, I think, in 2 weeks. 2 weeks' time. Other than that, they were looking for somebody that had some AFL experience. That basically knows... That knows the routes, knows the game, et cetera. So, unfortunately, you know, Nick Hill was signed when he was. He's not ready.
Well, to the best of our knowledge.
At the moment, yeah, just basically.
You know, that could change by tomorrow.
Easily.
You will know first in the Arena Fan chat room, because I will be there.
Now, I don't see what question here. I don't know if we can answer this question. It was the one about talking about Lynn Swann.
No, let's not go there.
No, because TJ, it's something that we really I don't know about it, so we can't really comment on it. Or we talk about it at the beginning of the show from Randy Marshall. How much is the return of Jesse Schmidt going to help the Barnstormers?
None. Well, not none. I mean, he's better than what they have out there. He's still only one out of eight, and he's still one of the least important positions of the eight on the field.
Next question goes to James Palmer. Another thing has to do with San Antonio. Do you think the Towns can turn the season around, have one like last year?
Well, one like last year, no.
It's a different quarterback, too. That's the problem.
Well, yeah, I mean, you're not winning 13 games again this year. What's the definition of turning it around? If the definition of turning it around is getting into the playoffs and getting your butt kicked by San Jose or Spokane in the first round of the playoffs, then sure, that's turning it around. The Central is so god-awful. And if you want proof of how god-awful the Central is, Chicago damn near didn't win that game against San Antonio in spite of the fact that a hurt Rohan Davey was quarterbacking the team.
Yeah.
So, can San Antonio turn around and win some games with Nick Hill quarterback? Sure. Could they go 8-10? I believe they can go 8-10. I don't think they can go 10-8, but I think they can go 8-10. But if they go 8-10, they may win the Central.
It's very possible. Next question from Nick Pierce. If I'm pronouncing it properly. Attendance question. So the league basically has gone from, you know, averaging almost 13,000 in 08 to 7,800. Well, it's actually 7,400. 7,400 this year. So it's a little bit higher. So I think it's 76. But in 2012, sorry. It just goes to show how far the AFL has fallen in just the last decade. I think it's a combination of things, though, Adam. And
it's not a question.
No, it's not. It's sort of a statement, but at least it's something that we can, you know. Anyway, I was talking to this a little bit also about with Mr. Bushi last night, and he expressed some concerns, obviously, even with themselves in Jacksonville. You know, right now, the way that the attendance is, a lot of the teams that do draw really, really well have not had any home games at all. And it will start this week with, as an example, with Spokane having their first home game. You know, at the beginning of the season, I predicted that the league would hit, I think it was 9K. They would average 9K. Yeah, I'm just hoping now that the league does not, that this does not end up being the league's, that this season ends up being the second worst in attendance in league history.
Or, God help us, the worst in league history.
Yes. But I think there are a lot of factors. And as I said, Mr. Bushi brought this up too. It's, first you had the failure of the league itself. Okay. But a lot of the stuff was occurring before. You know, we've had, I'm sure there was paper crowds. You had different attendances that were offered. You know, the people are not showing up, whether it be from the economy or whether it be just the play itself in the league. Things have gotten better this year. I would expect that, but you know, you have, unfortunately, you have some of these teams that are bringing the league attendance down. Yeah, it's gone from one extreme to the next, but you don't have these owners. You don't have the Tom Bensons in here that are going to be able to bring in these fans just because, oh, you know what? I'm going to go see the Arena football team that's owned by the Saints owner. Or I'm going to be able to go see Jerry Jones's team play in Dallas. Or John Bon Jovi's team in Philadelphia. It's not the same anymore. I'm sure there are different variables. I mean, if you were to think of a variable itself besides the economy and the type of play that the league has shown, what would you come up with?
You don't know the power of alienating a fan base.
That too.
You know, when you go away for a year, fans remember that.
Look what happened.
Or on the flip side of that, they forget about you.
Yeah, look at baseball, what happened with the strike. Look what happened to the Montreal fan base after the strike of 94.
Well, you know, Major League Baseball is called Major League Baseball for a reason.
Right.
It's still called America's game for a reason. That's why it didn't work in Canada. The AFL, you know, the leagues like the AFL, like the UFL, like the World League.
Mm-hmm.
When you fold, you don't generally come back.
No.
And I've long been a proponent, those of you that have been listening to the show have heard me say this time and time again, you cannot fold a team in the AFL and bring back another team in that city. It's not going to work. How many times do we have to see it with the Nashville Cats and the Georgia Force? How many times do we have to see examples like that? If it didn't work before, it sure as hell isn't working now. And the AFL, it just seems like it keeps beating its own head to try to put teams in these cities where it didn't work, and then they're shocked when it doesn't work again.
And it could be just the different owners. They don't have the money to do the, you know, they don't have the money behind the owners to do any promotions.
And there are just some cities this doesn't work in.
Yeah, it's true.
And I think Pittsburgh is just one of those cities. It just doesn't work.
It makes me wonder, you know, obviously there would not be the Tampa Bay would not have been around if they hadn't moved, but it makes me wonder what would have happened if they had stayed in Pittsburgh.
Well, they wouldn't have.
I don't know, but I'm saying, you know.
It's like the Commandos. You knew they couldn't stay in D.C.
Oh, no. That's why they jumped between D.C. and Maryland. That's why they went to, they played in D.C., then they played in
Baltimore. Yeah.
So, no, I know. It's just revisionist. Looking back, you know, for it to change history and just say what ifs. But, you know, there are many what ifs. You know, what if there wasn't the strike, you know, the labor issues last year? What if there wasn't the strike? The cancellation of the season back in 2000 and then they brought the season back again. What happens if we didn't have the NBC contract? What happens? You know what I mean? So there are a lot of variables. The league, yes. Attendance has slipped, but there are more variables out there than I think that we can count on one hand. And there may be a lot of variables that we don't know about or are not thinking of at the top of our heads. So, all I can say is support your team. That's all I can say. I mean, hopefully you are if you're happy with where you are with your team and you've supported them for all these years, no matter what, thick and thin, continue to do so. Because for all you know, one day they may be gone. Just go look at our history page of all the teams that have been in the Arena Football League. Look at how many are left, and look at how many have come before. It's a hell of a lot since 1987.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of teams. So, question comes from Brian Beaudry. Say he was actually making a comment to Nick's, he says, let's be realistic and stop comparing the league to anything to pre-2009. Good comment. Last question comes to us from, Brian Derry. Are the rush problems just at QB or even further? Defense seems to have been an issue till last week.
Well, I mean, yeah, the issue with the rush is in the front office. The issue with the rush isn't on the field. The issue with the rush is the fact that they didn't have a competent enough staff to be able to put together a team. The X's and O's on the field. Carson Coughlin was bad last week. I mean, he was brutal in the second half of that game, and it's a miracle Chicago scored enough points to win. The defense, I mean, the team has no pressure up front. The defensive line is a nightmare right now. Having watched them, they also just, they don't seem to have much intensity. And, you know, I understand I've only probably watched maybe 100 snaps of their games this year. I have not seen them all by any stretch of the imagination, but they just don't seem to have fire in them.
Right.
And teams like that, they'll win some games, but they're not going to win many games.
Yeah, they were, unfortunately, I don't want to say doomed from the beginning, but you know, you cannot.
And that's a good way of putting it.
You cannot have a team put together, I mean, you know, officially be put together until such a late period in the offseason and expect for, you know, Coach McMillan's doing the best he can. You know, they were dealt a blow with losing, with Gino Guidulli. You know, him deciding not to come. Could that have been an issue of the sketchy ownership at the beginning? It's possible. Would this be a different team with him? You know, who's to say if he was under center? But, you know, you get one of the best wide receivers in the league, and if you can't get him the ball, you're not, you know. I think it's the first time Reggie Gray has not caught a touchdown pass in, I think it was like 40-some-odd games, if I remember correctly. I had to go back and check, but it's not going to happen. So thanks again, guys, for the questions. Great as usual. I'm glad I actually started posting this stuff on our Facebook page and through Twitter, because you guys are actually coming through with some great questions. As we mentioned, there is going to be four teams on bye week this week. San Jose, Utah, Orlando, Cleveland.
Bye week is favored over two of those.
Yeah. By the way, speaking of Utah, Tommy Grady, even though they lost, Tommy Grady and his finger look pretty good.
Well, the Blaze look like crap.
He looked good, though.
I don't know how good he really looked. Yeah. He made some passes. He was able to throw the ball down the field.
Exactly.
So that
exactly.
was encouraging.
That's what I mean. Yeah. There are three games on the schedule on Friday. San Antonio is going to be traveling to Tampa Bay.
You know what? When the Storm played the Bossier Shreveport Battle Wings in 2010, and the Battle Wings came to play with some guy named, I think it was. I don't remember what the guy's name was, but whoever it was playing quarterback had never taken a professional snap at quarterback in his career.
Oh, yeah.
And the Storm were favored in this game by something like 17.5 points, and there was never a doubt that they were going to cover. It kind of feels somewhat similar if we are really going to see Nate freaking Davis on Friday night. I'm going to find it to be hilarious. The Storm are going to roll in this game.
Let's see. What do we have?
Tampa Bay's favored by 9.5.
There we go. Thank you.
Well, no, I mean, that's in the real world. I don't know what you're going to tell me. Arena.
Oh, no, no. Well, I mean, they've only played each other once as San Antonio. They played each other last year. San Antonio won at Tampa.
On my wedding day.
Yeah, that's right. By 21 points. Did I do my math right? Yeah, 21 points. Next game on the schedule is a Southern Division matchup. New Orleans travels to Jacksonville. Jacksonville has their first home game of the year.
Yeah, and this is going to be this. Jacksonville's got nothing to gain by winning this game from a perspective standpoint. Obviously, if they win this game, the South has become a two-team race for the year.
Right.
Obviously, because Orlando's not going to close 3.5 games on Jacksonville over the course of the last 15 of the season, and odds have it New Orleans isn't going to be closing 2.5 it would be 3 games at that point. You know, with 14 games left in their season. New Orleans off a bye. I don't like teams playing off byes, even though I know Philadelphia played like gangbusters off of its bye week. Its bye week last week. That being said, I think this could be an interesting game. I really do. I think the Sharks, we're going to find out, there's a reason that Cleveland stuck with them for the mass majority of that game, and there's a reason that Tampa Bay had them on the ropes.
I am just not
sold on the Sharks yet this year.
I think it should be an easy game. I mean, it's funny, they split the season series last year, so, you know, New Orleans did win last year in, Jacksonville. So, you know.
They're getting 13.5 in this one.
Yeah, I know. I think Jacksonville, you know, they're gonna be at home, in front of their crowd, and almost, I think, from what I understand from Jeff Bushy, that it will be close to a sellout. It's a very good test for New Orleans, but I think more or less that we're going to see how good Jacksonville actually is. Now, mind you, it is New Orleans, but, it's another step to see how good this Jacksonville team actually is. And to me right now, the game of the week, and bar none, and I mentioned before, if you have a chance to watch any game this week, whether it be on television or on the AFL live video stream.
Or 3 a.m.
Or 3 a.m. when it's on video on demand. Arizona, Spokane. This to me right now, this is one of the best games so far of the year.
Well, I think this is where we are going to find that Spokane ain't that good. I put the over-under at 1.5 until Spokane gets stopped.
Okay.
So, and that would only be the second time that the shot gets stopped in a real drive this year. I don't know. Arizona's laying 4.5 in this game. I'll lay 4.5 with Arizona all freaking year. I don't care where the game's being played and who they're playing. As long as Nick DeVille is still standing, as long as a couple of those wide receivers are still standing, and as long as Kevin Guy is still coaching that team, this is the best team in arena football, and they're going to be favored heavily in every game that they play from here on out.
Yep. Arizona, by the way, has won the last 4. They split, even though the series is even at 4 apiece. Arizona has won the last 4. Last year in Spokane, they smoked them 61-35.
It's not like Nick DeVille doesn't know what he's doing there.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember, was that the June 29th game? That was Raleigh that was under center, if I remember, for that game. You know, the game earlier in the year was a lot closer in Arizona, so it's, Avil.
I was gonna say, his last name is just totally slipping my mind. He's coming back this week for the shot.
That's true. Yep. I was gonna say, there's another wide receiver that's totally come out of the woodwork. I think, did Veal get hurt last year?
Yes.
Yeah. So, and I found that the Shock was quite stacked anyways at wide receiver. Weren't they?
I mean, you know, when you've scored, 28 touchdowns on 29 possessions or whatever it is, you're gonna look like you're stacked at wide receiver.
Yep. So if a game is played in front of a home crowd, but nobody watches it on TV, was it really broadcast? That's what you need to think about when we have a Saturday game. Philadelphia at Iowa, tape delay on the CBS Sports Network. You know, props to the league for having the TV contract, but you know what? Join us in the chat room, and let's listen to the Iowa broadcast on the radio. Let's go old. It's going to be old school Saturday this week. Join us in the chat room. We'll do it the old school way.
Now all they need to do is bust out the old helmets because the new ones are terrible. And
yeah, I don't like them either.
I hate those things.
I don't like them either. But if we were to talk about the game itself.
Filling a romp. The good news is if you turn on the game at 3 a.m., I think you'll be able to go to bed by 3:30 a.m.
Oh, okay.
I tend to think Philadelphia is every bit as good as they showed in Orlando, even though I know we don't really know that yet.
Right.
And I just think this is going to be one of these games that's just not very close from the get-go.
Yeah, I think Philadelphia is going to go on a run in this game and, where Iowa's just not going to be able to score either way. And Philadelphia's just going to be able to rack this thing up. At least I see Philadelphia winning by 10, but obviously I think it could be easily more than that. I know you, the fans, are already picking Philadelphia by at least 7.
And that's exactly what they're laying. They're laying a touchdown.
Yeah, so. And this is only the second time, would you believe, in these two teams' history that they have had.
I remember, it's also new Barnstormers' history.
Good point.
And the old Barnstormers and the Soul never, I don't think, ever played in a league together.
Nope. No, they didn't.
In fact, they couldn't have played in a league together.
Nope, they couldn't.
But the Dragons had their history.
That's
God different. Knows the last time those two teams met that the Dragons got hosed.
Yeah. we'll stop from there. So, win. Sunday, this is going to be another one of those games, fans, where are we going to be able to count the people on one hand that are in the arena? I hope it's not the case.
I won't get 100 tickets free.
I hope it's something a little bit better. Pittsburgh travels to Chicago.
Who's quarterbacking for the Power in this game? I don't know if we really know that yet. I don't know whether Jordan Jefferson is going to be quarterbacking. I don't know whether Shane Austin is going to be quarterbacking. I don't know whether it makes a bit of a difference. I don't know whether Carson Kaufman is going to be quarterbacking, and I don't know if that makes much of a difference. So, it's yuck.
Wow. And the fans have, the Chicago, by 8.
And Chicago's favored by 10 in this game.
Yeah. First time that these two teams have met, obviously, in their histories. I hope a half decent crowd shows up.
Yeah, except for you've got one little problem. What time does this game kick off?
4 p.m.
And what time are the Chicago Cubs playing on Sunday? 2:20 p.m.
There you go.
So.
Do the White Sox play at home this weekend too?
No. No, the White Sox are on the road.
Well, they'll be.
If you thought Easter Sunday was bad, all those fans that were there on Easter Sunday are going to be at Wrigley Field on Sunday instead.
Possible. Yeah, it's
real smart planning to have a game right damn same time the Cubs are playing.
It goes to, was this one of the original times that it was scheduled? I think it was, and you know, sometimes you can't get around everything. Remember, look what's happening in Baltimore for the first time.
But if you can play a game at 4, why can't you play a game at 6?
Mm-hmm. Good point. I'll give you that one. But then again, we can go back to the same thing with what's going. For those who don't know, Baltimore Super Bowl champions. This will be the first team ever to open up the season since they've been doing this, where the Super Bowl champions open at home. They're going to be opening up on the road because of a conflict in the scheduling between the Baltimore Orioles and the Baltimore Ravens. I did not know this. They share the same parking lot.
Yes, I mean they have to share the same parking lot. If you've ever, obviously you've never been there.
I've been to Baltimore, but I haven't been in the stadium. I've been to Oriole Park, but I didn't drive there.
The outfield of Oriole Park, and I believe it is it's got to be the west end zone of M&T Bank Stadium are literally back to back.
Okay. That I didn't know. Okay. So it's, you know.
If you hit a ball far enough, if you hit a ball past the bricks in Camden Yards, it's going to end up in M&T Bank Stadium.
You'll score a touchdown?
You could kick an extra point.
Yeah! Okay. So yeah, I hope fans show up for this game, but I'm being overly optimistic, I guess, on this one, so. I feel bad for them in Chicago. Other than that, I mean, Great interview. Again, we want to thank Jeff Busch for joining us. Adam, again, for setting it up. Before we go, I know it's been another long show, but any last words?
Matt Kuchar this weekend at Augusta.
Oh. See, I did not even know who the heck you were talking about.
It's golf. I know they don't play much of that in Canada.
No, we do. I think we had a Canadian win the Masters one year, wasn't it? I think his name is
Mike Weir.
Yeah, I know that. Mike Weir. Maybe if I tune in on Saturday night at 7 o'clock on CBS Sports Network, I'll be able to see him.
You might.
Do you think Tiger will be in the top 10?
Yes.
Yeah. I can tell you're such a Tiger fan.
No, I mean, it's just, I don't have any feelings on the guy. It's just a matter of he might not. It's a struggle for me as a sports writer, having written on that topic 8 million times.
Oh, really? Okay.
As to whether he will or he won't.
Okay.
He had a good first round today, though.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, he shot, 3 under, I believe.
Okay. I haven't kept up with it, so it's... All right, well, guys, thanks for joining us this week. We'll be back next week. Obviously, if there are any questions you want to send Adam or myself, you can do it through our email accounts, adam.markowitz@arenafan.com, tim.capper@arenafan.com. And as I said, we are hoping to have something again special for you next week. So for everybody here at the AFL Tonight family, for Adam, I'm Tim. Watch the rebound off the net.